today, or a set of three scriptures today. So let's get into this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And we have been talking a lot about changing the way that we think. When we talk about faith, we use three words interchangeably: faith, philosophy, and worldview. See, you live by some ethic of faith, whether it's good faith, bad faith, wrong faith, right faith, whether it's faith, foolishness, or presumption. We are all driven by an inward program that drives our life. We are programmed by something that causes us to live the life the way that we live it. The way that we view God, the way that we view ourselves, the way that we view other people, the way that we view life makes up our faith. And you live by this world view. And, you know, I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything. So therefore, I have always got room for improvement. When we quit learning, we quit growing. And we always need to be learners. And that's why it not just calls us believers, the Bible calls us to become disciples. And Jesus' followers were not just called believers, they were called disciples. The 12 what? Disciples. They started out as believers, they became disciples, and then they became the 12 apostles. So, until we become disciples of the Lord, our faith, the expression of our faith, will never be what it ought to be. We all have a design. We've talked about this over and over. We will always talk about this in this church. The design by which we are made. You do not choose your design. You were designed by God for a purpose. And your faith will accurately, real biblical faith will accurately cause you to express your purpose for which you have been called. And I can have presumptuous faith thinking that, okay, if I can have what I say, then I'm going to break all of Michael Jordan's NBA records. You know what? I can believe for that all I want to, but I am not put together that way. I'm not tall enough. I'm not fast enough. You know, when I was little and slow. And I never was fast. I don't know where my sons got their speed, but they didn't get it from me. And I don't think they got it from their mama. So I don't know where they got all that from. They didn't get it from me. I never was fast. And I can believe, I can say with my mouth, and you know, I was raised in the faith message. And you know, you can have what you say. Well, I believe that as long as it's consistent with your design. You get outside of your design and you can get messed up. You know, things are created to function within their design. I watched football yesterday and I saw a young man catch a pass and he twisted, and when he did, his foot went that way. How many of you know that the foot is not designed to do that? That's an abuse of design. And guess what? They limped off the field. I have seen places where people have hyperextended their knees. I mean, instead of bending that way, it bends that way. How many of you know that's not the way the knee was designed to work? And when you do that, guess what happens? It causes injury. And there's a lot of things in our life that has caused injury, whether it's a physical injury or even a mental, emotional energy, because we're trying to use something other than a way that it was designed to do. I wonder sometimes why we have so much depression. Why is it that we have so many emotional and mental problems? I'm just asking a question. Could it be because we're trying to use things other than the way they were designed to be used? I think so. Because I think really God made us to function correctly. And if I'm going to function correctly, I need to know from the designer how my mind and my heart and my spirit was made to function. And this I know, that my heart was made for the Word of God. My heart was designed to reproduce God's thoughts. Your heart is designed to reproduce God's thinking. It's healthy to think God's thoughts. And if I'm going to think God's thoughts, I need to find out how He thinks. And this is where faith comes in. The biblical kind of faith, it comes in. Now we've talked about, for 6 weeks now, about thoughts become words. Words become, help me out, actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And character becomes destiny. Hey, you're getting it. Say, I'm tired of hearing it. Well, that's a good sign that you're getting it. I wish you'd talk about something else. All you talk about, well, at least you got it, okay? That's why I want you to get it. I don't want you to forget it. Because when you begin to examine your own life and you get to see something's messed up and you think, okay, now what was that he said? I need to change the way that I think. When I change the way that I think, eventually it changes my destiny. And if I go, if there are a book of thoughts, if there is a book of wisdom somewhere that I can learn to think wisdom's thoughts, then it's going to change my destiny. And the Bible is such a book as that. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, but since we have the same spirit of faith, the Bible talks about a spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. See, I want to give you a scriptural understanding of kind of how faith works. Faith works. There's three things. You have to hear it, you have to speak it, and you have to do it. That's what we're going to talk about today. You have to hear it, you have to speak it, you have to do it. Now, how do I change the process of the way that I think? I interject thoughts into my mind that's going to reprogram my computer. It's going to reprogram my subconscious, my conscious and my subconscious. And I have to change the way that I think. See, we're shaped by so many things in our life. We're shaped by our past. We're shaped by our experiences. You're shaped by your giftedness. And sometimes that gets all mixed up and all messed up. But the one thing that I know that can change all of that is God's Word, because it shines the light on things. When we begin to accept God's Word as truth, not our own thinking, not what we have been taught, not our own opinions, when we go back to the Bible, and this is why we encourage you to read your Bible. You don't believe something because I say it. Because I say something does not make it to make it be true. What the Bible says is true. And when we go back to the Bible, it is alive. See, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and what? Life. They're spirit and life. If they're spirit and life, then when you put them on the inside of you, they become life on the inside of you. But it talks about how the spirit of faith works. And it says, the spirit of faith, it has, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. You know, just because you say you believe something, doesn't mean that you really believe that. Because there's three aspects of what really believing is. You know, you can say, well, you know, I believe you ought to be in church. Well, are you in church? Well, no. Then you don't believe it. Well, I believe in giving. Do you give? No. Then you don't believe it. I believe in walking in love. Do you walk in love? Well, sometimes. Then you don't believe it. There's three aspects of faith that makes it faith. Hearing it, speaking it, and doing it. And then we really believe it. Then is when it begins to shape our life. Then is where it begins to make the necessary changes on the inside of us. I remember being in Bible school and they told us, they pumped us full of Bible knowledge. You know, they taught us about practical ministries. They taught us about faith. They taught us about confession. They taught us about all of the things that had to do with ministry. And one of the things that they said to us is that when you get out of here and you begin to do what you have learned, you will learn two or three times as much as you learned in Bible school. You know what? That has been true. And what we call that is taking a concept and bring it into the reality of your experience. See, I know a lot of people who talk about faith, but they don't live by faith. So there is a process that we go through to really live by faith. And it, the spirit of faith says, we believe, therefore we speak. That's part of the process of reprogramming. But really, you follow your words more than you think you do. You follow your words more than you think you do. And therefore, we need to control our words. Words are reflections of thoughts. And we've already said that. But we have a tendency, whatever we think, we speak, we follow. And therefore, if we don't like the result, then we need to change the things that we're thinking. It'll change the things that we speak, and then it'll change the things that we do. And then that is part of the process of coming into a worldview that's consistent with God's Word. And that's what we want to do as believers, disciples. We want to be a follower of Jesus Christ of the Bible. Not some concept of Jesus that New Age makes up or what we fashion in our own minds. I want my concepts to be shaped by the Bible, because that is a safe way to live. See, that will keep me consistent with my design, my purpose, my vision. It'll keep me consistent with a life that God has ordained for me, for my family, just every aspect of my life. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10. This is, I always say this, this is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, my favorite book is the Bible. I just need to say it, because I want to say, boy, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I got a lot of favorite scriptures. They're just, the Bible is just full of good scriptures. There's some tough scriptures in there, and there's some that I like more than I like others. But here's one of my favorite. Here's one of the scriptures that helps shape the way that I think, because I begin to understand some things. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? This is talking about the spirit of faith. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Where does it say the word's at? It's in your heart and in your what? You know, faith is not something that's thought. Faith is not just something that we think. It's something that we say, which will cause us to what? Do. Okay? But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Then it goes on to say that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your what? Mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. What is it we do when we pray with people to make Jesus Lord? We ask Him the question, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Do you believe that He was raised from the dead? Yes. Do you repent of your sins? Yes. Do you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord? Yes. And we lead them in a prayer where they confess Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. But what does it say? The word's near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Faith in Christ, when we do what? We believe with the heart. We confess with the mouth. Guess what happens? A miracle takes place. In fact, the greatest miracle that can ever happen takes place the moment that you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. See, there's a lot of things that we can change. We can change our minds. Women are good at that. My wife's not here this morning. I can say that. My wife is good at changing her mind. Is yours? Bunch of weenies. No, we can all change our minds, can't we? But let me tell you something you can't change. You cannot change your heart. You cannot change yourself from a sinner into a born-again believer. There's only one thing that you can do for that to happen. You have to have faith in what Jesus did. And you have to confess Him with your mouth as Lord. And then the miracle of the new birth takes place. You cannot change your heart. You can change your mind, but you can't change your heart. We're telling you how to change your mind by the renewing of the Word. But this talks about the very essence of faith. And faith for salvation is the same faith that produces every other thing in your life. It's the same deal. Believing with the heart, speaking with the mouth, and then have corresponding action. So it's hearing, saying, and doing that produces results. It's not just believing something. It's not just believing something. It's three things that take place. Biblical faith. Then it goes on in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see the process here? Now this is not a legal thing. This is describing what takes place. This is the energizing of the heart and the mouth. It's lining up the heart and the mouth together with some kind of action. "For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame." Now see, it just described what really believing means. Hearing, saying, and doing. It's not just believing. When really, biblical belief encompasses embracing, saying, and doing. That's when you believe. And that's when something happens. Okay? Are you following me today? Okay, I'm not trying to be legalistic or technical. I'm not laying out a formula. I'm laying out a principle of how things tend to work. "For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be" what? "Saved." These are fundamental scriptures that we've read for years. "How then shall we call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Who sends them? God does. Now who are the preachers? All of us are the preachers. All of us are the preachers. Remember? We're erasing the lines between laity and clergy. We're all preachers. We're all ministers. We're clayity. We're clay. We all have a mandate of the Good Commission. You go places I can't go. You know people I don't know. You have influence with people I don't have influence with. I have influence with people you don't have influence with. We model. We speak. We share. You don't have to take a text and preach a sermon. You just share faith. You can lead people to Christ, okay? "How shall they go unless they be sent? And how shall they..." Okay. "For how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What is it that produces faith? Hearing the Word of God. Now the ideal of hearing there is not just like sitting in a service and hearing. The ideal there is perceiving. Understanding. And we have to work on that a little bit. The Bible is not all... Have you ever noticed that the Bible's message is not always obvious? You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. But that don't mean that it's right. You have to meditate. We spent a whole bunch of time talking about meditation. You have to meditate on the Word. You have to look at context. You have to see who it's written to and what they're saying. There's no Scripture that's a private interpretation. But faith comes by, let me say it a different way. Faith comes by hearing and perceiving comes by the Word of God. And then James chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 14. James is talking about those who say they have faith. But evidently the people that he was approaching, they had faith, but they had no action. They were just mouthing stuff. You know, a lot of Christians mouth a lot of stuff. You ever been around Christians who are all talk and no show? Now don't look at anybody. Don't look at anybody. Look at yourself. If you don't look at somebody, look at yourself. Okay? Can I say this? I'm going to. But I'm asking your permission. Living a true Christian life is one of the most challenging things that you'll ever do. It is easy to become a Christian. It costs God a lot for you to become a Christian. And it was a free gift for you. But for you to walk a true Christian life is a challenge. It's not easy. You have to consciously do it. You have to reprogram your mind to do it. Because it is not our natural inclination. When somebody tries to hurt somebody around me, my natural inclination is to attack. When somebody says something ugly about me, my natural inclination is to smack them in Jesus' name. You know, we have this side of us. It's not always easy to walk in love, to be a Christian. You have to work at it. And it's not just mouthing a doctrine or a theology or a just mouthing stuff. It's really what we live out in our daily lives that makes the difference. So James was challenged to some people who were talking about how important their faith was and it didn't depend on their works. Well, and it's true, you can't work and earn your salvation, but because you get a free gift of salvation, you ought to have a heart of good works. And this was his whole point. No, you can't earn it, but if you got it and you're not giving it away, then there's something wrong somewhere. And we need to examine that. So in James, he addresses this, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have good works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now, he's not saying that that is something that you have to do to be saved. He's using that as an example. What does it profit a hungry person if you say, be warmed and filled, and don't give them something to eat? What does it profit a sick person if you tell them to be well, but you don't provide a clinic for them to come to, or if you don't pray for them, or you don't, if you're not engaged in some way in helping that person recover? Well, I mean, how much faith are you really showing? How much faith are you really living out? Faith is not just believing. Faith is hearing, saying, and what? And doing. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? Now when he's using works here, he's not talking about earning something. He's talking about corresponding action. Believing something, and because you believe it, You live it. Okay? You're not doing something to obtain to faith. You're doing something because of faith, which is a whole another deal. It's the difference between what the Pharisees taught, that you had to do certain things in order to obtain to salvation, and what Christianity teaches is that because of our salvation, we do good things. That's the whole difference in religion and relationship with God. And there's a lot of churches today that are teaching the Pharisaical side of what they present as Christianity, which is not really true Christianity. Salvation is a free gift. Because we have God in a free gift and grace in our lives, then we become benevolent in our hearts and we're willing to give to others. That's the whole deal of the gospel message. Okay. So, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. You believe that there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do you know the devil's a believer? He's not saved, but he believes. He knows. He knows Jesus is real because he got defeated by him on the cross. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? By works of faith was made perfect. And the scripture was filled which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So what was it? What was it that constituted real belief? Abraham heard God's message, go and offer your only son. He said to the lad, God will provide himself a lamb. And he offered him on the altar. That constituted his faith. He heard God's voice. He said what God said. And he walked it out. And guess what? Because of that, he had a covenant with God. And guess what? When we do the same thing, we hear God's voice. We say what he says and we walk it out. Guess what? Our faith produces for us. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. This is a little bit different kind of message that we're doing today. Prayer team, come. We're going to pray a quick prayer. You may be here today, and I always want to make this available. We don't harp on this. But you may question in your own heart, if you really do have a relationship with Jesus, have you confessed Him as Lord? You repented of your sins? Do you believe that God raised Him from the dead? Have you ever expressed that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you followed the Lord's example in baptism? Maybe you've not done that and you need to do that today. Any one of these people up here today can pray that prayer with you to make Jesus Lord. Or maybe you've been away from God and need to come back. We believe in that we get separated in fellowship with God and we need to restore that fellowship. Or maybe you just have other issues that need to be prayed about, healing or maybe you have a financial need and you need someone to agree with you that about that thing. Whatever it is today that you have need of, we want to give you this time to have prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much that you're so faithful. Thank you for a book full of promises that covers every aspect of mankind. And Lord God, I claim those here today that don't know you as Savior and Lord, that they would come and be connected with you and be born again. We thank you for the opportunity of your grace today. And thank you, Lord, that this is not an altar of legalism. This is an altar of love and grace and peace. And Father God, I pray that you would draw people unto you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.